This is Capital Insider, taking you inside politics, policy, and government in Oklahoma. I'm Dick Pryor with Quorum Call publisher Sean Ashley. And our guest is Dr. Robert Doffenbach, professor emeritus at the Price College of Business at the University of Oklahoma. Bob, good to have you with us again today.
Great to be here. Bob, we spoke with you in early August about the state of the national economy. You were cautiously optimistic then. Have there been any significant changes since that time?
Yes, indeed. Something very significant happened on September 19th. The Fed lowered the interest rates on the federal funds rate, which is their targeted policy rate, from 5.25% to 4.75%. Now, that's a half point drop, and generally people were expecting only about a quarter point reduction. And so that's been a very substantial change. Now, we have to recognize where interest rates have gone over this period of about 2.5 years. Beginning in March of 2022, the Fed began its interest rate climb and raised interest rates a full 5 percentage points, the highest and most rapid rate of increase in interest rates in the history of the Fed. And they also reversed their policy of quantitative easing. That is, they had been buying a lot of securities in the pandemic year, and now they started turning that around and selling securities, and that has, of course, the tendency to bring up interest rates very, very much so. So early on, the Fed was very much behind the curve. They were rightly criticized for that, and to their credit, they reversed course quickly and decidedly. But now we're at another point. The labor market has started to show some weakness. And in consequence, the Fed is recalibrating. It's looking at its dual objectives of price stability and full employment, and it's saying it's time to turn course. And so they're not only talking about lowering interest rates, that 0.5 percentage point, but they're talking about a program of continuing to lower rates. And I think they're very correct in what they're doing in this recalibration. So hopes for a soft landing are abounding right now, and financial markets seem very pleased.
So what does this mean? What do you think this will do to the economy?
We have to remember there are policy lags. You can change policy, you can put it into effect, but you're only going to marginally affect decision-making on financial fronts, and certainly those will continue into the future. But we certainly don't expect any rapid rebounding of the economy prior to the election.
Should we continue to worry that the economy may be on the cusp of a recession?
Always we should worry. Time-tested indicators of recession have triggered, as such as the SOM rule. Essentially, they're based on the rate of change in the unemployment rate over historic levels. And we've seen unemployment rise from 3.4% in April 2023 to 4.2% in August. So that's a sign that the labor market is weakening. But we have to remember the 4% in my textbooks when I was studying and in teaching, 4% was always considered a fully employed economy. Now, signs of growth moderating are abounding, but we haven't seen initial unemployment claims rise, which is typical when the onset of recession. Indeed, they're falling somewhat. Full-time employment is down 1 million workers since mid-2023, but it's up 3 million workers since January 2024. Quit rates are rising, but not much different from historic levels. Job market gains in non-farm employment have fallen from the 250,000 level that we once knew, but they're still high enough to moderate growth in the labor force. Moreover, GDP forecasts are in the 2.5% real rate of growth in gross domestic product. Now, that's hardly what I would call a recessionary. It appears every sign of weakness that we see has a fairly convincing counterpoint.
Within all this, how is the Oklahoma economy holding up?
Well, the Oklahoma economy is holding up really well, particularly if you're talking about the Oklahoma City metropolitan area. Statewide non-farm employment has risen by 4.3% since January 2020. Now, why do I pick January 2020 as the benchmark? Because that was prior to the pandemic. So we're looking at going through that full cycle of all the jobs we lost during the pandemic, the recovery and whatnot, and saying, well, where are we today relative to January 2020? And the answer is, statewide, we're up 4.3%. So that's pretty good. The nation is up 4.4%. So we've essentially matched the nation. Oklahoma City Metro, looking at inside the state, was up 7.2% since that January 2020 date. Tulsa was up 3.3%, and the rest of the state was up only 1.8%. And year over year, Oklahoma City's, just this last year, gain in employment 2.1% versus the national gain of 1.5%. So clearly, Oklahoma City is the growth gem in the state.
What concerns many business leaders about Oklahoma's future?
Well, we've seen a recent poll by the state chamber of business leaders, and they found that 80% were expressing concern that workforce and education issues are hindering the state's economic progress. Gaps in both soft and technical skills were noted, especially pronounced in positions not requiring a college degree. So there's growing concern about education and economic development.
There's been a lot of talk about workforce, and there are several interim studies on workforce this year. Is Oklahoma doing enough on workforce development?
Well, there's a lot of activity, certainly, as you see, Sean, in your time you spend there. But obviously mounting concern to the point that the Oklahoma Workforce Commission was established in 2023. The Legislative Evaluation and Development Committee, LEAD, the acronym there, was established in 2024. Legislation was created for the Oklahoma Office of Economic Development, Growth, and Expansion to develop strategic plans. The Oklahoma Department of Commerce is being restructured. A lot of new acronyms flying about. Clearly, the question of how well coordinated we are in our efforts and looking at all those elements of economic development that we need to be paying attention to. But certainly growing concern, and we'll hope appropriate attention and responsive, quick investigation of where we need to be going.
What do you recommend that Oklahoma policymakers do to improve the state's workforce and job readiness?
I'm always one for looking nationally. We talk about the 50 labs that we have in the nation. Who's doing exceptionally well with economic development? What are they doing? So baseline, you've got to look at that, at benchmarking to what's going on in other states and regions. And I certainly think that would be a good quest. We have a good place to start. There are good designs out there, I suspect. I haven't investigated them recently. I mean, we look about, it was 40 years ago in the mid-80s that we faced similar crises regarding economic development, and we made a lot of changes then. So it's time for us to roll up our sleeves and look at what we're doing, what in returns are we getting off of what we're doing, and what we need to do differently, and how can we effectuate such changes.
What concerns you most about the state's economic future?
Well, a number of things, but I'm concerned about fragmentation of economic development policy and inadequate focus, and we've kind of already talked about that. And so I think we need to increase our efforts there. I'm concerned about support for higher education. Adjusted for inflation, Oklahoma's support for higher education in real terms has fallen by 60%. Since the mid-2000s, 2007, I think, was the peak year of support. And we are very much lagging by just about all states in the nation. We can bring up statistical evidence to show that being the case. And it's definitely going to hold us back. But education at all levels is the bedrock of economic development. And we certainly have to give more attention to what we're doing and how well we're doing it. On a revenue front, we do a lot of hand-wringing about the Oklahoma income tax, failing to recognize its importance and fairness in state revenue generation. In FY24, total state revenues were down $1.33 billion, an 8.9% decline. Now, there was some economic weakness in 2023, And so that may be responsible nationally, was some weakness that may have been causal force in bringing down that rate. I don't think we're going to end up down that much this year, and hopefully not down at all. But the individual income tax was the only major revenue source that was up. And it was up 3.8% and accounted for 39% of all state revenues. We want to be like Texas. Well, then adopt Texas's property tax rates and we can forget about the Oklahoma income tax. We hate the property tax, but at our peril, with declining oil and gas severance taxes likely continuing, we have definite revenue problems in Oklahoma.
For sure, that's a lot for policymakers to think about. Bob, thank you for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
That's Dr. Robert Doffenbach, Professor Emeritus at the Price College of Business at the University of Oklahoma. For more information, go to quorumcall.online. You can find audio and transcripts at kgou.org and look for Capital Insider where you get podcasts. Until next time, with Sean Ashley, I'm Dick Pryor.
The candidates for November are set.
I know Donald Trump's type.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.